Welcome back to this special holiday sundial on WLRN. American Son by South Florida playwright Christopher Demos Brown takes audiences inside a police station on a rainy Miami night. The story centers around an interracial couple awaiting the news of their son, who was involved in a police incident. It tackles issues of police brutality and racial dynamics in South Florida as the tension of their son's whereabouts grows throughout the performance. The show premiered on Broadway and was turned into a film on Netflix. It's now running at the Adrian R. Center in downtown Miami until January 26. Stuart Meltzer is the director of American Son. He's also the artistic director of Zoetic Stage, which put on the performance. This show is about an interracial couple who are at the police station because they want to know what happened to their son, who was in an incident. Again, this tackles these chasms between races, but how do you do this without getting preachy?
That's a great question. And I think that I just tell the story as is. So those are the circumstances. The circumstances are that it's a, you know, mixed race couple and a mixed race child. That's the circumstances. And so the only thing that I can do as a director is hopefully hire people well, who have a lot to contribute, whether that be, you know, from where they come from in their own world and whatever sort of, you know, whatever their life is, and they bring that creatively to the process. So I think I pat myself on the back for casting well, but B, that we can talk about the circumstances, and hopefully the playwright's done all the lifting for us. You know,
let's look at the couple, the mother and the father, Kendra and Scott. They're an estranged couple. Kendra is black. Scott is white. Briefly tell me, who are they?
Karen Stevens is Kendra and Clive Chollerton is Scott. Two actors from South Florida. In fact, Clive is the first time he's been back on stage in 12 years. He stopped a few years ago to run a theater company up in Boca. So this is his first time back on stage. But Karen, audiences have seen Karen all throughout the years, all throughout South Florida. And this is her tour de force. This is her moment.
There's something interesting I was thinking about this is, as I mentioned, again, Kendra, the character, is black and Scott is white. Tell me about that dynamic between the couple on stage, because it'd be a totally different story if Scott was black and Kendra was white. But just tell me about Kendra and Scott, their relationship.
They're a married couple for 20 plus years, and professional, and obviously financially well off to some degree.
We find out because they live in
Coral Gables and. They're sending their child to a school not unlike Ransom Everglades. but they are splitting up. They're in the process of, they're separated, and they're in the process of 4 months being apart. And he has another woman. And so, and she doesn't have anybody. And so in that part of the storytelling, there's a bit of betrayal. Big chunk of betrayal that happens, and so I think the circumstances for them, they're at a police station in the middle of the night, but so much of what happens in the play is the past 4 months, the past 6 years, the past 20 years of their lives that all comes crashing and colliding at the end.
You recorded a scene from them in rehearsal, and it really speaks to the tension in the relationship, but also, again, you're tackling the dimensions of race and class. Let's take a listen.
So where did he go last night? I assume he went out?
Yeah.
With who?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Why should I know?
Jesus, Kendra.
I don't grill him every time he leaves the house. He's a grown man. I trust his judgment.
Listen, you're the one who insisted that Jay live with you, which I was totally okay with, but you took on an obligation to be responsible.
Okay, fine.
It's just, well, I hate to keep harping on this, but the kid is going to West Point in like a month.
Oh,
it is not acceptable. Well, it's not, Kendra. Last few times he showed up at my house, he looks like a gangster.
A gangster?
A gangster, okay? I said it.
Why? Because he's not wearing Brooks Brothers?
The baggy pants, the cornrows, the stupid, loping, surly walk he suddenly developed.
He's a teenage boy, okay?
Well, a second ago, he was a grown man.
He's just trying to find out who he is.
Trying to find out who he is?
Explore his own identity.
Oh, Christ. Today it's the cornrows. Tomorrow, he'll be helping OJ to find the real killers.
How did the actors get into that place where this interaction felt so genuine and alive? Was it difficult for you? There are many of these, by the way, throughout the show.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if difficulty is the word. I think that's what we do as artists. We have to be able to go to these places that are difficult. Sometimes they're difficult to get to as far as technically speaking, or as far as, you know, what the moment is. So I'd like to conduct rehearsals with a lot of communication and a lot of things to try. You know, let's try to see if this works. And if it doesn't, then we'll try this. And I think that you can also rely on what Christopher Dimas Brown has written. So going back to the actors, they can relate to it. Karen can relate because she's a Black woman. Clive is a father of an 18-year-old. And so he already has that world that he brings in with him.
And they bring this to the story. The other interesting part is this, is, you know, again, an issue about an interracial couple dealing with race, dealing with police relations with race. Mm-hmm. You're a white director. So, mm-hmm. I mean, how do you approach this? Because you know how the conversations go in today's world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard anybody say to you, well, wait a minute, what do you know?
Well, you know, I hear that often because I direct a lot of various or different kinds of plays. I just directed The Wolves that were 10, you know, females playing soccer. A few years back, I directed a Top Dog Underdog, which were two Black brothers. You know, how do I relate? That's the big question. Well, I relate because part of my job is to look at a script objectively with empathy. I relate because I look at my job as being a connector of the human experience. And I think the human experience has much to do with where we come from as far as culture and identity and race. But I also think it goes beyond just that. So I'm a facilitator. So I bring the people together and we talk about the circumstances at play and we talk about themes and we talk about the identity of the play. And for me, all I want to do is not step in the way of what's really going on and what the actors bring. My job is to tell the story creatively, hire the best actors and the best designers to tell that story.
That's true. And this is in real time.
Yeah.
So, and there's no intermission. So you're going all the way straight through. Again, doing it in real time, mm-hmm. Is that a challenge or do you prefer that?
No, it gave us opportunities. So with our sound designer, for example, with Matt Corey, who's our sound designer, we worked on ways to incorporate the sounds of Miami that would happen in summertime, like rain, like sirens, like a ticking clock. You know, at times, like people being booked in the next room. So we were able to go ahead and explore things on a much more inclusive level. And that was exciting. And people and our feedback from audiences are thrilled at that, you know?
There's this great scene between Kendra and Scott. And again, it starts as an argument. It's about their son, but all of a sudden it becomes about them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just go back and forth. And you start to see the perspectives. He's a white man, so he's seeing the world from his perspective, mm-hmm. and she's a Black woman, and she comes from Liberty City, and so she's seeing the world from her perspective. I wonder how you create this scene without either side becoming holier than thou, because you want the audience to see both sides. There's some funny moments, but mm-hmm. there's some tense moments, and you want us to see she's got a point, he's got a point.
Mm-hmm. I do that by making sure the intentions of the actors are really clear. I'm a director who works moment to moment. So in other words, I work slowly and I'm very methodical. We don't get a lot done in an 8-hour day, but we have our work done very clearly. And what that does for me is when our productions get to the stage, they are really detailed and layered. So making sure that we have very clear intentions from the actors, making sure that we fully understand what we're saying. And also, a big part of it is recognizing that even in these very trying circumstances, we can laugh at ourselves.
I'm talking with Stuart Meltzer, director of the new show American Son. American Son was written by South Florida playwright Christopher Demos Brown. It appeared on Broadway, and again, it was turned into a film on Netflix. The show runs at the Adrian Arsh Center in downtown Miami until Sunday, January 26. Kendra and Scott are, again, the scene is they're in the police station. They're awaiting the news from the morning liaison officer, Detective Lieutenant Stokes. Stokes is an officer of color. How does he add another dimension in this conversation of race?
Much of what I've been told from people who saw the Broadway production and our production, all of a sudden, this scene where Stokes comes into the play makes so much sense. And I don't necessarily know why that is being said. I can guess because I have an actor, James Samuel Randolph, who currently teaches, he's part of the full-time faculty at New World School of the Arts, and was my teacher and my colleague for years. This man, this force of life that comes to the stage, and all of a sudden, you recognize where this man has been for 25, 35 years of his life. You know he's been on the streets. You know that what he has to say is from experience and heart. And all of a sudden, you start to see two different point of views that are becoming very clear, not from a black-white perspective, but from two different black American perspectives. Really smart, I think, or daring of Christopher Demos Brown to go ahead and put that in the play, particularly at a time where maybe that kind of conversation is not necessarily very popular, right? As opposed to unifying, it is two conflicting arguments that truly make the theater really engaging.
The writing in the show is very rooted in the history of South Florida. I mean, you have Kendra at one point talks about what it's like to be a black woman driving on South Dixie Highway. You have her and the lieutenant discuss a life in Liberty City at the housing project everybody knows is pork and beans. What has it meant to put on the show in a hometown audience, for a hometown audience, where you have such a sense of place, and you know, it's another dimension for the audience because I know these places. Mm-hmm. I know that place. I've been there.
I think it contributes greatly to the experience. Not to say that those places can't be imagined, but the Broadway audiences, or you know, that's not necessarily their view of the world. People really don't know Miami really well. They know Miami Beach, Coconut Grove, Coral Gables, you know, they mean, you know, certainly part of the tourism component. But I think that we know the city really well. I grew up here in Miami, you know, I grew up in Kendall. And I grew up driving on South Dixie Highway. So these kinds of sort of familiar aspects to our community are very, very alive and real, and really contribute to a familiarity of what's going on. We know these people also, and we know that rainstorm. I mean, you know, June in South Florida, we know that afternoon or nighttime rainstorm, and we know the sounds of thunder, how that contributes to, you know, our own lives.
You know, before the show starts, the theater manager mentions that the show is meant to inspire conversation with the audience. And I'm wondering,
you know, stole that from me.
What have you heard? What have you heard from people? What are those conversations?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the conversations are coming back to me. I know accolades come back to me, or people who have a tough time sitting down for an hour and a half, you know. But regardless of that, I think that what's happening is that people... What I'm hoping is that I always hope this happens from anything that we produce, is that there can be a dialogue that happens that brings conversation to make a better society afterwards. And I know that's hoity-toity, but it's very similar to, you know, probably not unlike what your job is. My job is similar, you know. Yours is about information. Mine is to spark that dialogue forward? You know, how do we connect? What did you take about this play? Oh my gosh, yes. It is about police brutality or potential police brutality. And what does that happen with race? And how, you know, what is it like to be to be at the disadvantage or to have privilege? So all these kinds of things that start to go back and forth between people or groups of people, and what can we learn from each other, which I think is paramount into what I do.
I think no question it'll get you talking about a lot of things, a lot of scenes that can spark conversation. Stuart, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's thrilling for me to be here. Thank you.
That was Stuart Meltzer, director of American Son. It's playing at the Adrian Arsh Center in downtown Miami until January 26. You can see a film adaptation of the play by South Florida playwright Christopher Demos Brown streaming now on Netflix. And that's Sundial for this Monday, January 20th. Sundial is produced by Chris Remington and Alejandro Martinez. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. WLRN's program director is Jason Zapka. Our technical supervisor is Peter J. Meritz. Our theme music is by the Miami Afro-Cuban funk band Balo at gobalo.com. Don't forget, you can download a podcast of the program. Just search WLRN Sundial on your podcast app. Well, coming up this week on Sundial, we are expecting our program to be preempted by the upcoming Senate impeachment hearings. We will continue to post Sundial conversations on our social media and on the website. And you can also continue to follow along the Sundial Book Club by going to Facebook and searching Sundial Book Club. We're reading Don Davies' Mothers of Sparta. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.